Hello, this is Ross Conrad, and I'll be reading to you my article that appears in the July 2024 edition of Bee Culture magazine. The title of the article is Honeybees on the Dark Side: Observations and Thoughts on Honeybee Behavior During a Solar Eclipse. On April 8, 2024, northern New England won the meteorological lottery. With clear skies and warm temperatures in the forecast, many considered it the best place in the United States to view the total eclipse of the sun. The path of totality just happened to encompass my hometown of Middlebury, Vermont, where some of my bee yards are located. April 8, 2024 also broke my personal record set the previous year on April 10, 2023, for the earliest I'd ever gotten out and started unpacking, reversing, and inspecting my bees following the winter. Before last year, I had never had the chance to start reversing my colonies until well into the second half of April. The bees and plants go by the weather rather than the calendar, so I follow their lead. This year, it would allow me to get some work done and still catch what is most likely to be my only chance to see a total eclipse of the sun. It would also allow me to observe how my bees responded to this rare event. Honeybees are known for their ability to navigate, in part, by observing the sun. Once honeybees arrive near their target, they are able to use landmarks, their eyesight, and their acute sense of smell to navigate to the exact location of what they're looking for. It is their reliance on the sun for navigation that is the basis of how we interpret the waggle dance that bees use to inform hive mates of the direction and distance to a specific destination. The angle to the sun that the forager experienced in flight tends to match the angle used during the waggle dance inside the hive. This angle, relative to the direction of gravity, is used as a proxy to represent the location of the sun during the dance. They also use the polarization pattern of light in the sky to orient themselves and find their way to the general vicinity of forage blossoms, water, tree resins used to manufacture propolis, or during the act of swarming. The light that our sun emits is generally unpolarized. When sunlight is scattered by air or water molecules in the atmosphere, the scattered light changes in characteristic and becomes partly polarized. To some extent, all scattered light is polarized. However, light becomes highly polarized at a scattering angle of 90 degrees from the light source. American physicist and inventor August Hermann Fund used this characteristic of sunlight to invent the Fund Sky Compass. It was used in the 1950s to navigate near the poles of the Earth when neither the sun nor the stars were visible. The sun's navigational importance for the honeybee is further reflected by reports of bees foraging at the equator. When the sun is directly overhead, bees have been observed to stop dancing and foraging flights cease. Foragers' dances reportedly become disoriented whenever the sun is closer than 2.5 degrees of its zenith, the highest point in the sky that it will travel during the day. At 5 degrees from zenith, foraging activity is about half of that observed when the sun is positioned significantly away from its zenith. It stands to reason that when the sun is significantly blocked by a partial or total solar eclipse, a colony's ability to navigate and forage may be impacted due to the bee's reduced ability to use the sun as a reference for their internal compass. I had the opportunity to observe bees during a partial eclipse back in the mid-1990s while working for a commercial beekeeper. As I recall, we were well into the season. The daytime temperature was very warm that day, and the bees had been filling up on a major nectar flow. We just happened to be out in the bee yard during the eclipse. As the skies darkened, activity in front of the hives increased tremendously as worker bees returning from foraging poured into the hives. During the height of the eclipse, not a single bee could be seen in the air. All was quiet. We finished our work and left. I was expecting more of the same this time around, and I was surprised to note some differences. I arrived at the apiary around 2.5 hours before the total eclipse was scheduled to take place. It was one of the first sunny and warm days of the year. The temperature was 61 degrees Fahrenheit, and there was only a few thin, high clouds in the sky. All the hives in the apiary were a flurry of activity, and the foragers were coming in heavy. Lots of pollen was being brought in to feed the growing brood nests as the colonies shook off those last vestiges of winter. Being early April, the colonies were focused on replenishing their food stores and restocking their pantries. During the initial stages of the eclipse, the bees did not appear to change their behavior in any way. It wasn't until the eclipse was about a third of the way into totality that activity at the hive entrance decreased a bit. Once the sun was half obscured by the moon, the temperature had dropped to 60.6 degrees Fahrenheit, and there was significantly decreased activity at the entrance. About an hour into the eclipse, the temperature had dropped to 58.4, and the moon covered 3/4 of the sun. Foraging activity continued to diminish, with most foragers returning and very few foragers leaving. A water forager, I noticed, even landed on the ground nearby to collect water. As the eclipse progressed and the visible light began to imitate what is normally seen at sundown, the temperature continued to drop. 10 minutes before the sun was totally eclipsed, the temperature had dropped to 55.5 degrees, and there were only maybe 10 bees sitting out in front of the hive entrance. Foragers continued to arrive, but at a very reduced rate of maybe 10 per minute. No foragers were seen leaving the hive as the moon totally covered the sun. However, an occasional forager was observed to return to the hive every so often, even after the temperature had dropped to a low of 51.8. It wasn't until about 5 minutes after totality, when the sun had started to be uncovered by the moon, that the first foragers were observed to once again leave the hive. Because it was a clear day, the daylight, close to and during the total eclipse, resembled the twilight that occurs at sundown. It was bright enough to allow a few foragers to continue to return to the hive. About a half hour following totality, the daylight had returned to near normal, and foraging activity became very active again, even though the temperature had only risen back up to 54.5 degrees. In my location, the length of time that the moon totally eclipsed the sun was very short, measured in seconds, so I didn't have the opportunity to fully observe how bees act when the sun is fully eclipsed by the moon for very long. Researchers that have studied a hive's reaction during a total eclipse have reported mixed findings. For example, one paper states, quote, "Bees ceased flying during complete darkness at totality, but flight activity was unaffected by dim light in the partial phases before and after totality," unquote. Another reports, quote, "During the totality of the eclipse, very few bees arrived back at their hive," unquote. This second report is similar to what I observed during the 5 minutes closest to, during, and immediately following totality. A bee would fly in from the field once every minute or so, but no bees ventured out. If the sky had been covered with thick clouds during the eclipse, I could imagine that it might get very dark, as noted in the first report above. This suggests that light and temperature changes signal a reduction in favorable foraging conditions, and the bees respond like any colony would during sunset at the end of the day. It is also possible that there is a genetic element to a honeybee's response to a solar eclipse. The bees I work with today are primarily Russian-based due to their propensity for increased tolerance to varroa mites and their enhanced ability to endure extremely cold weather. Russian stock was imported into the U.S. in 1997, and breeding stock was not released to the general beekeeping industry until a few years after that. The majority of my bees have been raised generation after generation from queens and nukes I have purchased from various breeders of Russian-based stock. The genetic makeup of the colonies I was working with in the first half of the 1990s, before the Russian bees were imported to the U.S., was different. This may account for some of the difference in bee behavior that I saw then compared to now. Supporting this theory is the 1932 report from Mr. E. Kellistrand of Rockland, Massachusetts, of his bees' activity during a total solar eclipse. Quote, "I have 15 colonies of bees, which I watched closely. The field bees had been working heavily on goldenrod all day, and everything was normal until darkness began to come on, when they came home in unusually large numbers. When it was darkest, they had not all reached the entrances of their respective hives, and it was then too dark for them to see their way, so they kept flying about in the air or landing on the grass until it lighted up again. Then they found their way home and became very quiet. Some stragglers still came in from a distance. Later, after the eclipse was nearly over, they ventured out again, very slowly." Unquote. It appears that how bees respond to an eclipse depends on a variety of variables that influence hive behavior during a solar eclipse, be it partial or full. These include sunlight intensity and cloud cover, temperature, the needs of the hive, the time of the year and available forage, and the genetics of the honeybee colony. This has been Ross Conrad, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen.